Spring is in full swing, and summer is just around the corner. A great time for a beach getaway at the Oceanfront Boardwalk Plaza Hotel in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. Enjoy the best of oceanfront accommodations and amazing dining right on the beach, both with great views of the ocean and boardwalk. Enjoy a soak in the heated indoor spa pool, or book the adults-only concierge level and relax in the rooftop hot tubs. Book online at BoardwalkPlaza.com or call 800-333-333 Beach. Thanks to the Boardwalk Plaza for being the Bridge Podcast Network sponsor.
Let's be honest, you clicked on this one because there's somebody you can't stand.
Wow. This episode is an advertisement for hatred. Okay.
If you've been wronged in the past, you may be entitled to compensation. The real question is, all kidding aside, why do Christians forgive their enemies? Heavy topic, light topic, we're going to cover it all. I'm Mark Dickey.
And I'm Burt Miller.
This is the Why Do Christians podcast. Hey, welcome to the show. My name is Mark Dickey. I host the afternoon show on the Bridge radio station. My co-host is Pastor Burt Miller from Solid Ground Church. Bert, how are you today?
Oh, man. Mark, you know what you did, Dickie. Doing well.
Just, will you forgive me?
We'll find out as the episode progresses. Wouldn't that be the worst that like there was some kind of like lingering thing, and then throughout the episode, one of us had to guess it. Like it was like passive-aggressive, right? So like you, well, the fact that you don't know shows that just how wrong you are right now. Like, and man, I would turn off that episode so fast if we just started having like passive aggressive jabs at each other the entire time, and just enmity just arose.
Yeah,
man,
maybe there is something. Maybe there is some anger that you're harboring.
I don't think so.
No,
but maybe I'll find out as we go.
Okay. Well, it's great to be here.
Did we just make the room awkward now? Like a little bit, like
I
a little tender.
Feels a little like a zoo in here.
Oh man,
I'm looking for the elephant. It's somewhere.
Oh, okay. So just to clarify, I got no beef with you. Like we're good as far as I know.
Okay, cool.
As far as you know.
Hey, you're also supposed to guess what my real name is.
Yeah. You want me to do that?
Yeah.
I'm looking at you. I'm saying Mark Jonathan Dickey?
No.
Oh, okay.
Nope.
All right. Okay. One of these days, I'm going to get it. What happens if I get it?
I think the show ends, but
okay.
This is also really fun.
Okay.
We'll just have to pick a new kind of show to have. We'll just do a new show.
Wow.
Don't Christians?
Yeah, why don't Christians?
All right, so today we're going to be talking about why do Christians forgive their enemies? Mm-hmm. And forgiveness is a big deal.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult to do. And what's so special about it to me is it's something that Jesus asks us to do if it's not fair.
Yeah.
Like, it's very countercultural. Like, oh, you know what you did.
Well, man, that's such a good word. Like, can you give us a little more of that idea of like fairness? Like that is such a good word for all of this.
Well, I mean, you think about the culture today, like your money back guaranteed or satisfaction guaranteed.
Yeah.
Like I deserve it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just because I don't know.
Well, no, but even think about like, I don't know, dude, like think about for me, it's like there's this fairness. There's this, how many movies or TV shows do we watch where like the person gets revenge, right?
Right. Like
they were wronged, and I mean, we can't wait to see them like get revenge or have the one liner or something like that where they get to quote unquote make it right in their own eyes. They tip the scales or whatever, but forgiveness requires, there is no scale tipping.
Right.
Like, that's why I find that word that you use, fair, like just so good, because it's at the heart of it for so many of us, and we don't even think about it being there.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and if you ask people for advice, odds are good they're going to give you advice based on fairness.
Yeah.
Not, yeah, this happened to me and I, you know, it's not right. It's not fair. And how many people tend to conveniently forget when Jesus told us to turn our cheek?
Yeah.
To, yeah. Oh, they want your, what was it? Something about taking your cloak.
They want your cloak, give them your shirt too.
Yeah. Like,
well, and that's, I mean, so that stuff's in the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount, there's something to realize with it. What it is, it's Jesus's revealing that the kingdom of God, God's way of the earth, is now here, and it's among people that you wouldn't expect it to be there, because in the world that they lived, like, you were important if you had wealth, you were important if you were, if you had power, you're a dignitary or whatever. And the kingdom of God, as it turns out, is among the humble. And so, like, the Sermon on the Mount is this sort of, for lack of a better phrase, it's a manifesto of just, this is what God's kingdom in the world actually looks like. And it's completely flipped upside down from what everybody thinks it should be. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to topics of forgiveness, it's within this viewpoint of, hey, people who are living in a way that is God's way of life, this is what this looks like. Mm-hmm. Right? So, like, back to, again, I want to come back to that idea of fair, right? Jesus makes this reference, and again, like, why do Christians forgive their enemies? Because Jesus taught us to. And here's an explicit teaching. He says, Matthew 5:43, you have heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Right? So, okay, like, well, that's not fair. And then he says, and then he gives the why, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Okay, why? So, like, God's way, like, so the reason you do that is because this is how God lives. And then he gives, like, you want an example that God, this is how God lives? He says, he causes his son to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Like, God blesses even those who don't bless him. Hmm. And Jesus goes, live like that. And something that I think is incredible is, you know, how often do we come across stories where people demonstrate radical forgiveness? Like, Christians, like, they're wronged in a way, you know. There's a story of a guy who his brother was shot, and he went to the trial of the woman who shot him and just, hey, if he was in this room, what he would want for me is to forgive you. Like, can I forgive you? Like, can I give you a hug right now? And she's burst into tears. Right.
Wow.
You could think of, I don't know if you remember back in 2006, there's a thing where there was a guy who went into a school in Lancaster, an Amish school, and took the lives of multiple students before taking his own. And the Amish community there, they rallied, they made the vocal choice to forgive him, and then even try to provide a provision for his wife and children who he left behind.
Wow.
Right? The parents who were grieving themselves. And you look at that, you know, what makes a person do that? And the answer is the Holy Spirit. Like it's been this forgiveness that we're talking about. Only God brings that about. And I think that's something really important to realize. Like, sometimes it'd be easy to be like, well, what's it really matter if I forgive them? And what you don't maybe see is that you're living in a world that's contrary to how this world is, right? Like, if you're in Christ and your kind of radical love changes the world. Like the Amish thing that I mentioned, something really interesting to note is that kind of radical forgiveness took people off guard nationally. And they started being inspired to do the same thing. So you would hear stories of people blessing others with that kind of forgiveness, and they would source it back to what that community did in the face of that attack. Mm. And so it comes back to, like, why is it that Christians forgive? Because Jesus lived counter to the world and has invited us into relationship with him, which gives us the ability to do the same.
Man.
You know, if I could say one thing too, I think this is important to realize, it's easy to see that as a philosophy, but one thing that we find is that Jesus actually modeled that. He didn't just teach it, he modeled it. Think about, like, when, like, famously he's on the cross in Luke 23:34, where as he's being murdered, mm-hmm. he prays, Father, forgive them. People who are killing him
because
they don't know what they're doing. And you can be like, well, that's Jesus. No, we know for a fact his early followers did the same thing. Like, the first Christian martyr ever, a guy named Stephen, as he's being killed, this is in Acts 7:60, he actually cries out and says, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Mm. So what? Yeah, I know, right?
So what else does the Bible say about forgiveness?
There are lots of things. One thing that talks about this idea of not repaying evil with evil, right? So you can think about 1 Peter. There's this thing where in 1 Peter 3:9, he gives us instructions. This is Peter who knew Jesus, walked with Jesus. He says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. because to this you are called so that you may inherit a blessing. How many of us, somebody slams us, maybe we have a boss who's rude at work, or somebody says something that really hurts our feelings, and you find yourself maybe the next day in the shower, you're just repeating in your head what you could say. Like if that moment were relived. Oh,
I've never done that before.
Oh, okay. Really? Well, I have. But have you really never done that?
No, that's complete sarcasm.
Oh, okay. Like, and the thing with that is, though, that's the exact opposite. It's like we don't repay insult with insult. We don't repay evil with evil. Instead, what we do is we bless those who actually make our lives harder. Like, again, Jesus said this in Luke 6:27. He said, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. And that's an echo of Matthew. But listen to this. He says, do good to those who hate you. Mm. And the world doesn't live like that, right? The world lives in, you do good by me, I'll do good by you. You do bad by me, I'm going to do bad by you. That's not the kingdom of God. That's not Christians.
Right. I'm reminded of the cultural obsession with karma. And just, you're just supposed to be good to people, so good things happen to you and bad, like, but.
Yeah, which, man, you talk about a commonplace, unbiblical worldview here.
Yeah.
In America. Yeah. Like karma and views of God's justice and grace are just incongruent. That, like, karma is not Christianity.
Mm. So something that is pretty common is the phrase forgive and forget.
Mm.
And I feel like that's really nice and it sounds good, but doesn't really seem like it lines up with scripture.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. Okay. So there are all kinds of things we can talk about, like what forgiveness is and is not. And sometimes like really well-meaning, you know, counselors, pastors, they'll say things like, forgiveness does not mean forgetting. And I get the thought behind it. The thought behind it is, hey, don't place yourself in a position where, you know, you could return to harm. And, mm-hmm. I would agree with that. So I would say that forgiveness is not pretending that what the person has done wasn't harmful. And forgiveness is not maybe putting yourself back in an environment where they could perpetuate harm to you.
Mm-hmm.
The issue I have with saying that forgiveness is not forgetting is twofold. Number one, Paul writes this in Ephesians 4:32. He says, forgive as God in Christ forgave you. And his context for that is within a body of believers. So, you know, ideally there's health there and there's grace and what have you.
That's a good detail. Cause I've heard that verse a million times, but
the context is within. Yeah. But I just come back to you and I could be wrong here. Okay. But I come back to this idea of, okay, as God in Christ forgave me, man, because sometimes when people, they'll say, listen, you only forgive if the person shows repentance. And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm repentant towards the Lord in any and every sin that I've ever committed. But how many of them I'm not even aware that I did, you know? It's like, is God waiting to forgive me for me to understand the full depth of the wrong that I've done? I don't know that he is. In the same way, like, you know, I think about if I was the person being forgiven, this would be the question, you know, like where Jesus has that thing where he says, like, do unto others as you have them do unto you, right? The golden rule.
Mm-hmm.
My question would just be, all right, if I wanted someone to forgive me, what would I be asking of them? What would I want that to look like? And so, like, when you know, is it a thing of, okay, I'm choosing not to, you know, hold this against you or what have you, and but I'm going to bring it up from time to time. Well, I wouldn't want that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I'm going to forgive you, but I'm also going to keep you at arm's length. Well, I wouldn't want that either. And I know there is no, like, clear cut, because it could be the person has done some really, really horrible things where, unless something changes with them, it's just not a good place for you to be, because they could hurt you, they could hurt others in really, really damaging, abusive ways. But I want to be careful to be prescriptive in a way that the scriptures don't act, because the scriptures tend to be very above and beyond in terms of just sort of lathering on the forgiveness. And so if we're sort of asking, like, what is forgiveness? The answer is forgiveness, simply put, is canceling a debt. Like, the, you know, like, forgiveness is basically, it's why, you know, in Jesus, like in the Lord's Prayer, he can say, like, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Or he can also translate it as, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The idea is that when someone wrongs me, they owed me something they didn't give me. They owed me a consideration. They owed me a treatment. They owed me something. And I could hold the debt against them. I could look at them and I could be like, all right, you know what? You didn't do this and I'm going to make you pay until you make it right. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is you owe me this, but I'm not going to call in your debt. All right, from this moment onward.
Ever again.
Yeah, it's gone. And that's why, like, when Jesus teaches, there's a famous parable he teaches on forgiveness. He likens it to a debt. This is in Matthew 18, where he tells the story of their two servants, right? There's one who goes before a king, and before the king, he's got this unaffordable debt that there's no way he's ever going to be able to repay. And the king looks at him, and he says, all right, you know what? I cancel your debt. Go and be free. Servant goes. He sees another servant, and the other servant owes him the equivalent of, like, some day's wages, nothing even close to the fortune that he had just been forgiven. And he says, give me what you owe me. The guy says, I will. Just give me time. He says, no, forget that. Has the guy thrown in prison and beaten. And the king hears about it and then jails the first servant because he's like, you know, you wicked servant. Basically, like, you hypocrite. Look what you've done. And Jesus' language of forgiveness is canceling the debt, right? Yeah. And the point of that parable, by the way, is that God in Christ has forgiven immeasurable debts on our behalf. Like, you want to understand the full scope. Like, so you look at it and you go like, all right, I'm a, you know, am I as bad as so-and-so? No. Like, okay, maybe, you know, I'm not perfect, but at least I've never done what they did or what have you. You fundamentally don't understand your situation before God because you're appealing to something that God goes, no, that's not who you are. Mm-hmm. Like, you owe me much more than you've ever given me, and I'm choosing to wipe that away.
I'm thinking about how the wages of sin is death.
Yes.
And so every sin you've ever committed, you owe death.
Yes.
So effectively, what I owe God is thousands, if not
thousands, yeah,
of death sentences.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's a lot to owe.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful that that debt is forgiven.
Right. And think of what we do with God with that, though. Like, we depersonalize him. So right now, maybe you wrestle with forgiveness and you're listening to this episode and your response is, well, that's God. And God's, you know, all powerful and all knowing. Of course he can forgive. And what you're doing right there is you're minimizing the grievance because you're removing the fact that God is a wronged party by you.
Mm.
So you're writing away the fact that, like, he doesn't have to forgive you, but he chooses to. And so it would be easy, like, well, that's God, so therefore. But that shows that you fundamentally are missing the point.
I found myself in the past kind of praying on and just kind of praying, not like EY, but AY, praying, mm-hmm. praying on mm-hmm. the significance of my sin, mm-hmm. whether it's current or past, mm-hmm. and just kind of worshiping God in that and just saying, God, thank you.
Yeah.
God, I can't believe I did that. And Lord, you forgave it. Thank you. And just having that prayerful attitude to just help me continue to have the posture of knowing, like, wow, God, you've already done so much for me and you're continuing to do so much for me. Thank you for forgiving me for even the stuff that I'll mess up today.
Mm, yeah. Hey, Mark, do you like commercials?
I do.
Don't we all?
Wouldn't it be great if we had a sponsor for this podcast?
Mark, nothing would make me happier.
Well, you could sponsor this podcast by contacting us at podcast@wearethebridge.org. You could be a hot dog stand.
A cheese grater company.
You could sell furniture.
Or Wi-Fi.
Contact us at podcast@wearethebridge.org.
I think that's it. I think we got it.
It's really easy to talk about forgiveness when it's ourselves and God.
Mm-hmm.
But when there's a human being on the other end of it, someone who's wronged us, who might still have that smug look on their face.
Right.
And they wronged you, and maybe they don't even know that they wronged
you.
They're
gonna get away with it.
Yeah. And gosh, that makes your just blood boil.
Mm-hmm.
How do we forgive people?
Yeah. Well, I think there are some things to do. the very first thing I would tell you is ask the Lord for help. Like, if you're in a place where you're like, all right, I know I should forgive so-and-so for what they did, but I just don't want to, or it's just so hard or whatever. I think the very first thing that you do is you go to the Lord, because again, the type of forgiveness that we're talking about is kingdom-oriented forgiveness. Like coming from the Sermon on the Mount, this is empowered by the Lord. People don't love and forgive this way naturally. And so I think the very first thing that you want to do is you want to just bring it to God. Now that leads to the next thing, and that's this: recognize the wrong done. Sometimes what happens is people, under the guise of what they think they're doing in forgiving, is they just minimize what's happened. Mm-hmm. And they'll pretend, oh, it wasn't that big of a deal or whatever. I would say allow yourself to grieve.
Wow.
The injury. Like, to just acknowledge, hey, this was not okay. Now, I say this like, maybe I'm just speaking to myself right now, because my wife has called me on that in the past before. Like, there have been some times where folks said, these were really harmful to me. I'm like, ah, well, it wasn't. She goes, no, this was bad. It's okay for you to be upset by it. Mm. And I think that's healthy. So, now, how long to dwell on it, what have you? Okay, you don't want to live there, but you can't heal from something that you don't acknowledge is a wound.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I would say, like, allow yourself to grieve it. Recognize the wrong. Hey, they did this thing, and what they did was not okay. And I would say confess that to God, because He knows about it anyway. He already knows how you feel. Sometimes we think, well, I don't want to waste your time with that, or I don't want to talk about it, because you're just going to tell me how I should forgive him anyway. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's where He's going to take you. But if you think your pain doesn't matter to Him, you don't know Him. Like, well, I mean, you probably know Him, but you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a reason that the Bible talks about Him wiping every tear from our eyes and casting all our cares on Him. Like, He knows how you feel anyway, so why not just be honest with Him about it and bring it there? So that would be the next thing I would say, is recognize the wrong and grieve it. And then the next thing I would say is this: make a choice to cancel the debt. Now, this is important, because sometimes we think forgiveness is purely a feeling. We think, okay, if I forgive somebody, I'm never going to feel angry about it. And you know, the Amish story that I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I read a couple of interviews with fathers who had lost their kids during that. And one of them even said, he goes, I keep questioning, have I forgiven them? Because I keep starting to feel anger again. But no, I chose to, and going back to it. And that's the thing to realize, is that forgiveness is a choice first and a feeling second. You may not feel initially any difference towards the person who's wronged you, but what you're choosing to do is not call into account their debt, meaning you're not bringing up the story in a way of that we get to trash them and bash them. You're not holding it over them. You're not returning evil for evil. Like, you know, so for instance, if you're somebody, oh, I forgive everybody, and you continually tell stories of how so-and-so wronged you over and over again, you probably haven't forgiven them. Because forgiveness means I'm canceling the debt. I'm letting this go. Like, and the reason it's important, like, I would say make it a choice, is because you may find yourself coming back to the feelings over and over again. And what you can do when you, like, I would say even mark your calendar. On this day of this year, I chose that debt is canceled. And every time that I feel like I want to bring the debt back in, I want to cash again, I'm going back. No, that debt was taken care of. It's gone on this day. I chose forgiveness. I love there's, like, what you're going to find, by the way, when you do that, is that you're going to be changed by what's happened. There's this quote years ago, it was by Lewis Smedes. He said, like, when you choose to forgive, you set the captive free, only to discover that the captive was you.
Yeah.
And so I would say, go ahead and make that choice. And then, like, last thing, like, you know, this whole idea of fairness, right? Because we want fairness, we want justice, and justice is not a bad thing to want. But over and over again in the scriptures, we are told not to take revenge, but to leave justice to the Lord. And so what I would say is, you know, you trust the Lord with the outcome. Now, listen, if there's been a crime perpetuated against you, you may need to go to the police, and that's perfectly right and good. But I'm talking more relational things, like, you know, so-and-so didn't return my phone call, or so-and-so broke up with me, broke my heart, or, you know, this boss fired me, and I don't feel like they should have. What I would say with that is trust God with the justice of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then what that allows you to do, by the way, is be released from the feeling of needing fairness.
An alternate quote, you quoted it, and maybe where I heard it from was just a little bit different, but it was choosing not to forgive someone only hurts you.
Yeah, I forget. There was somebody who said it, like, they said choosing unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I've heard that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it was from you.
Oh, no, I didn't come up with that. But I've heard that. Yeah.
But it's just so funny. It's like, odds are good that person's not thinking about, oh, yeah, I scarred him for life. Like,
right.
Like, no, like, they've likely moved past it. And obviously, there are certain things that can happen.
Sure.
You know, you, anyway.
Well, I would say this too. Unforgiveness will damage you. I mean, there are so many studies done that just, like, physiologically, unforgiveness takes all kinds of tolls on your body. But even spiritually, like, you know, like the passage that I mentioned earlier, the parable where Jesus talks about the two servants, you know how that thing ends? This is in Matthew, again, it's Matthew 18:35, where it says, like, so when the king is like, you know, you wicked servant, you chose not to forgive this other one. And he's, and so he puts him in prison, the guy's tortured. He says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Let's acknowledge that unforgiveness does affect our relationship with God. To not even get into issues of you know, physiologically and all that stuff, like, unforgiveness damages. And so if you think, all right, I'm going to hold on to this, it's my little means of peace that I can, you know, stay with this and be bitter. I'm not going to let this go because if and that's the other part, right? Like, if I let it go, it means they got away with it. Well, no, because you're trusting the outcome to God, who never does wrong. But recognize that you choosing to hold on to this is actually going to affect you in your relationship with God. Does it mean that he loves you less? No. But you can't go to the Lord in purity of heart and like, I'm going to bring my prayer request before him. But also, I've got this beef with this person over here that I'm content to remain. Like, it's going to affect you.
Something that you've got me thinking about as we're talking about this is maybe a tactic for maybe helping you forgive somebody. Maybe there is something that happened to you. I've had this one person who I've recently forgiven. It's very fresh.
Okay.
I've been holding on to this for probably 8 years.
Was it me at the beginning of this episode? I'm sorry. Sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't take away. I'm sorry.
The dramatic conclusion.
Full circle.
After this, that'd be the perfect place to put an ad.
Yeah. Right. That I'm sorry,
be,
you were saying...
That might be where it goes.
Yeah, so, okay, so, but 8 years, you're saying?
Yeah, and I just had this powerful time of prayer a few weeks ago, and I was like, wow, like, God, I can let go of this. I can let go of this moment.
Praise God.
And, but as I'm thinking about that situation, if a friend of mine, if you came up to me and described, you know, all of this person... did this to me 8 years ago.
Yeah.
If you came up to me and said that you were still hot about that, I'd be like, Bert, get over it.
Yeah.
Like, that's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But because it's me, because I'm the one who is wronged and I deserve to have this resolved, then it's a bigger deal.
Well, because you experience life through your eyes.
Right.
Right. Like, it's not that, you know, you'd be so narcissistic as to say that you're the main character of the world, but many of us, this is how we justify unforgiveness or what have you. It's just kind of, well, but this is my thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But probably 99 out of 100 people would say, that's not that big of a deal. There are things that are big deals.
Sure.
And then, you know, but yeah, it's really interesting.
I do want to just to safeguard, cause, you know, the hard part with doing a podcast is we don't know everybody that's listening. We don't know the specifics of their situation and what have you. So I would just want to, give a few safeguards right now.
Yeah.
And that would be this. Number one, again, if you're dealing with an issue where a person has done something illegally, like perpetuated a crime, what I would suggest that you do is talk with a trusted leader or counselor about taking that to the police and what have you, like what needs to be done there if they feel that's best. Because I don't know you. I don't know your context. And so I would say you need to bring that to a place where that may be a thing. You say, well, Bert, like it, you know, I thought we're making so we're not cashing in the debt. That's true, but we don't want to enable people to perpetuate harm on other people. And so I would say, like, take that to a leader or counselor, somebody who you trust with that. Another thing I would say is if you're in a place where you just, you know, you're having a really hard time forgiving someone, a podcast probably isn't going to fix that. I'm like, we can make some points and you go, huh, yeah, okay. or maybe I'll think about it, or no, I don't like that. I think it's a great idea to sit down with a pastor or a counselor and talk through whatever it is that you're carrying, because none of us are meant to do life alone. And so I would encourage you, like, if you've got sort of like outstanding debts, trauma, things that you're carrying, bring that to someone who can help you walk through those and walk out of those things, so that you're not stuck in life having to carry that. And so I just want to be clear, like, what we're not advocating right now is just, oh, here's five steps so that you'll be fine for the rest of your life. No, like, don't remove the relational end of things. Like, there can be specific contexts where what you need to do is get with some folks who can better advise you, knowing the situation that we don't know.
Yeah. Maybe we can begin that process with just a quick prayer and just start preparing our hearts. And for maybe there's no one in particular who's coming to mind, or maybe you've been thinking about one particular person or an action this entire episode, but that's not really the person you need to forgive right now. Maybe there's someone else you need to forgive. And let's just take it to the Lord right now.
So, Father, we seek you in this moment, and we know that forgiveness is what you have for us, because it's so clearly your heart. You are a forgiving God. And you invite us to know you, walk with you, and become more like you. Lord, I pray for my friend, my brother, my sister, whoever's listening to this today. Would you let them forgive from their heart those who have wronged them? And Lord, I don't know what those wrongs are, but you do. As you're listening to this, how about we just take a second right now and we say, okay, Lord, today is the day that I hand it over to you. Today is the day I release it. You see it on this moment, on this day, I choose to cancel the debt. Holy Spirit, would you empower me to do that going forward from this moment in times when I may be tempted to uncancel the debt? Would you give me the grace and power and strength to continue to let it be done and over? Father, I pray for those who counsel is their next step, or there may be things that are unresolved that they're going to need some other folks to help them walk through. Would you give them the boldness and courage to reach out? Sometimes it's easier to leave things unsaid and to suffer internally. But Lord, that may not be best. And so, Father, I ask you, let them be willing to have the hard conversations. You know, I pray for the one right now who's listening in their car, and they're having to pull over because today's episode is just like it's uncorked the tears, and they're sobbing there in their minivan. They're sitting there in their whatever car, and they're going like, God, I thought I dealt with this. Would you remind them that you see them right where they are right now, and you love them, and you are there in that car with them. You're there with them. I pray for an extra awareness of your presence in this moment, so they know that they do not grieve alone, and that you will, not might, you will help them forward because you love them. So we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus, and may the name of Jesus be glorified in all of it. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for joining us on this episode as we explore forgiveness. And I really hope, and it is our prayer for you, that you would find some peace in this episode and have some next steps. Maybe the Lord even revealed something to you in that moment just now. If you have questions for future episodes of the podcast, please send them in podcast@wearethebridge.org. Thanks for listening.